As I mentioned, on the Shabbat nearest Veterans Day, it is our custom at TBS to look at the nexus between Judaism and the American Armed Forces. In some years, we've brought in speakers, but this year we decided to look a little bit closer to home, as we have many veterans and active duty service members in our TBS community. I thought I might share a moment of my particular history with Judaism and the military. The first 11 months of my life, my dad was serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky as a doctor on the Army post. He had gone into the service in that Vietnam era, having just finished medical school, and served 2 years on the base there, during the second of which I was born. That's about as much as I know about Judaism and the Army. Fortunately, we have folks here with much greater experience. I invited them to share with us some thoughts about what it meant to be Jewish in the Army, whether it was easy or difficult, their most interesting moment or their proudest moment or their funniest moment as a Jew in the military, how their Jewish values or Jewish identity intersected with their service, or things that they wanted folks to know about being Jewish and in the military. So I'm going to invite up U.S. Army Major Lyle Jenser and Navy Captain Stephanie Leung and Lieutenant Colonel of the Army Jeffrey Levine. If you'll come up, let's have you sit up here on the bima, and one by one you'll come up and be able to share your stories and your reflections with us. But we'll have you all up on the bima at once. Just have a seat there. And Lyle, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us first, we'd love to hear your reflections and your stories. Have a seat right there.
May it please the court. Oh, wait, wrong audience. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And may it please the congregation. In the spring of 1988, I was serving in Stuttgart, Germany as a senior defense counsel in the Army's Judge Advocate General Corps, when my office was notified that a young soldier assigned to the naval base in Naples, Italy, had been brutally murdered, and that another soldier had been charged with the crime and needed legal counsel. Naples is a long way from the nearest Army Defense Council, and in the spirit of an action passed as an action completed, we contacted the Navy JAG office in Naples and invited them to take the case. The Navy thanked us for thinking of them, but declined our invitation. The case had already attracted a lot of local attention and was politically fraught because of the concern of the Italian authorities that the soldier who committed the crime would likely face the death penalty, which was contrary to Italian law and abhorrent to the Italian public. This case was a public relations nightmare in the making, and the Navy had no reason to get involved. So I was assigned, along with co-counsel, to defend the soldier. We had to move very quickly to get ready. Unlike in the civilian sector, military criminal cases often proceed on a rocket docket. That was especially true in this case. The commanding general wanted the case tried as quickly as possible and gave us less than 3 weeks to prepare for the pretrial investigation, which is the Army equivalent of a grand jury proceeding. Owing to the complexity of the evidence upon which the prosecution's case depended, we had a lot of ground to cover, traveling first to Camp Darby in Pisa, Italy, to meet with our client who was in pretrial confinement, and then on to Naples to interview witnesses and hopefully locate any favorable evidence that would help us defend the case and convince the investigating officer to recommend that the charges be dropped, which is a rather unlikely possibility, or at least that the death sentence be taken off the table. Unfortunately, this meant that we had to travel and conduct our investigation during the Passover holiday. Not knowing whether I'd be in Pisa or Naples on Passover, and in any event, not knowing anyone in either place, I'd pretty much given up any hope of attending a Passover Seder. As it happened, the first night of Passover coincided with the second day of our investigation in Naples. Completely exhausted, knocked off at around 6 p.m., my only thought at the time was take a shower and pass out. However, as I was walking back to my quarters, I noticed the base chapel. and I decided I might as well stop and see if I could get any information about where a Seder might be being held on post. I entered the chapel, and much to my delight, I discovered that a Seder was just beginning in the social hall, and that I was more than welcome to attend. As I recall, there were about 15 of us at the Seder, which is about half to a third of the amount of people that my mother used to have at our house for the Seder. They were all Navy except for myself and one Marine. Everyone was in dress uniform except myself. I was wearing the BDUs, which is the uniform that makes you look like a camouflaged tree. And I suspect I smelled rather ripe after having spent 10 exhausting hours investigating the crime scene, running down witnesses, and generally making a pain in the tush to the military council, I'm sorry, to the military police and the Italian police who had investigated the crime. But no one at the Seder seemed to mind. Maybe they had all lost their sense of smell. They enthusiastically welcomed me, and I had a marvelous time. Now, being a vegetarian and not much of a drinker, my meal consisted of Hillel sandwiches and grape juice, which absolutely astounded the Marine I was seated next to, who pointedly asked why I was only eating what she labeled rabbit food. When I told her that I was a mere Army JAG officer and not a tough Marine like her, she said that explained a lot. For the rest of the evening, she and the Navy lieutenant who sat on my other side referred to me as Major Rabbit. At the conclusion of the Seder, everyone was provided a care package consisting of two jars of gefilte fish, some matzah, and other goodies. Channeling my inner Radar O'Reilly, you know, that's the guy from The Clerk in MASH, I deftly worked out a trade with the Navy lieutenant, giving her my gefilte fish in exchange for a box of matzah and some macaroons. All in all, it was a real successful trade and a very satisfactory conclusion to a wonderful evening. Now, I'd love to tell you that attending the Seder so rejuvenated me that the next morning I went out and blew a hole in the prosecution's case. But to paraphrase Shania Twain, I ain't no Perry Mason. And our client was undeniably guilty. But after 35 years, I still finally recall that wonderful night of Jewish fellowship on the only Navy base I've ever been on. And if you're wondering, owing to our outstanding advocacy, with perhaps just a tad of help from the political situation in Italy, my co-counsel and I were able to obtain a life sentence for our client in return for his pleading guilty, and that was a major win. I've always learned and I've always known, as the Talmud tells us, that whoever saves a single life is considered by scripture to have saved the entire world. My client was not of very good character, but his life was worth something and we saved it, and I'm very grateful for that. Shabbat Shalom.
So I love that story because one of the questions that they asked, it's my honor to be here tonight. The fact that after 12 years of retirement, people still remember I was in the military. But I love that story because one of the questions is, how is it being Jewish in the military? And, you know, it's not easy, really. Life happens. They don't hold up deployments or exercises or real world events for any holiday. And when we were stationed in Virginia Beach, we were having a training workup cycle for our deployment. It usually lasts 6 months. And part of that deployment, part of those workups, we had to come up to Quantico, Virginia, because we were deploying with Marines. We had a big Marine exercise, and it fell on Yom Kippur. When I asked my commander if I could skip the exercise, he said, "No, you can't. You're the senior intel officer afloat, and you have to be there for it." So the first night when we drove up was actually Kol Nidre, and so we drove up to Quantico, got everything settled, and I asked, may I go to Fort Belvoir, because they didn't have any chaplain services at Quantico that night. So I drove myself up here to Fort Belvoir. I celebrated Kol Nidre. I drove back down afterwards. I showed up all day for the exercise. I fasted, and at the end of the day, I brought out breakfast. No one knew what I was doing. They just thought I was bringing food. I had explained to everybody that while I may not be able to celebrate the whole holiday, it's important for me to celebrate it with people that I'm surrounded with. And that deployment, I knew I'd be deploying during Passover. So I thought it was really important. Probably one of my proudest moments as a Jewish member of the military was when Vic and I lived in Bahrain. First of all, we got a call about 2 weeks before we were coming from the Admiral's wife, Mrs. Katz, they were Jewish, and recommended that I not bring any of my Jewish jewelry. We're going to be in Bahrain, and while it's a little more liberal than other Arab countries, it would just be wise not to bring that. So we listened to them. Outwardly, I was a little frustrated by it, but inwardly, I understood that, you know, we were there as diplomats and we needed to abide by the local customs. When February arrived, by the end of the summer, we had a visiting deployed ship, and when I went out to visit the ships, one of the biggest complaints they had was they didn't have, there are a lot of Jews in the military. I have even Jewish friends who can't believe it. But the chaplain on board the aircraft carrier said, one of our biggest complaints is I'm not a Jewish chaplain and I don't really know how to help the lay leaders when Jewish holidays come up. So him and I stayed in touch during their deployment, and it was coming up to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and in Naples is one of the closest Jewish chaplains. And so I called up there and said, I've got a minion of Jews that are in the Persian Gulf on ships and a few here that are on base, and we would love for you to be able to come down and help us with our high holy days. So he couldn't come down on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He came down in between, and there were some rules for him as well. We asked him, please make sure your tzitzit is tucked in when you fly in, even though you'd be expedited. And please make sure you wear like a normal cap over your kippah, and please don't bring any Jewish items. And he was on board. When our expediter helped us get him through, the rabbi was very disappointed because his Jewish cookbooks had been confiscated. He's like, they're cookbooks. I'm like, but they're Jewish cookbooks. We did eventually get to get them released. It was a great 2 days. We did services in Bahrain, and there were Bahraini Jews who attended with us that we didn't know about. They were kind of like an underground underground group that my admiral knew about and connected us when the rabbi was coming. And then we flew the admiral out to the aircraft carrier. We brought the 15 Jews over, you know, 12 ships, 15 Jews, pretty good. And we did both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur on the ship. So that was one of my proudest moments to be able to make that happen. Probably what I want you guys to remember about the most significant moment for me in being Jewish. It's always a little hard, right? I mean, you have to make it a priority when you move, whether you're in the military or not. You know, first you find a place to live, then you unpack. If you have kids, you find their schools, then you find a synagogue. And if you don't make it a priority, it makes it, the longer you're there, the harder it takes for you to do that. Probably the most memorable moment for me was when I got promoted to commander. I was an assistant naval attaché in Israel. And I asked the chief of naval operations if I could be promoted on an Israeli SAR 5. And he's like, what do you mean get promoted on an Israeli SAR 5? I'm like, well, don't, what do you guys do for promotions? He's like, they come into my office, we promote them, they leave. And I said, okay, well, that's not how we do it in the United States. So my parents got to come out. Samantha and Nicole were born at the time. And after Shabbat in June of 2001, I was on an Israeli SAR 5. I got promoted by an Israeli admiral. And I was the first time that I incorporated various Jewish prayers into my event. And it ended singing Shehekianu. And it was probably one of the most proudest times of my life to be able to share that with Israelis, you know, our allies, with my parents had come out, my parents and my brother, and with my family. So there's one of the top three things I wanted to talk about. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. So thank you, Rabbi, for inviting me to speak today. I was asked to speak about my experience and give personal stories about being Jewish in the military. And for me, it's a bit of an awkward request. I've given a lot of speeches in my career, but never about myself. Usually I'm speaking to a unit or a team, highlighting group accomplishments about the success of others. For the few times that I've been honored in a ceremony, like a promotion or a change of command, we still focus on others. I thank my teammates, I thank my unit, my coworkers, my mentors. I especially thank my family. Military service is very difficult for families. It's probably more difficult for families than it is for service members themselves. And it's only through their support and their sacrifice that a service member can have a successful career. My career is now approaching 20 years, and I can't thank my family enough. So there are a lot of assumptions, I think, about being Jewish in the military, that it might be lonely or isolating or even discriminatory. But I can't say that's been my experience at all. While certainly a minority, I can't say that I'm more of a minority in uniform than I am any other day out of uniform. I've never been denied an opportunity to both serve and worship. In fact, being an active duty military member actually makes me more of a minority than being Jewish. The U.S. population is somewhere between 1.5% and 2.5% Jewish, depending on who's counted, while the active uniformed military is less than 0.5% of American society. American Jews have never failed to answer our nation's call. We've served this country in every conflict from the Revolutionary War to include 500,000 Jews serving during World War II. The Department of Defense stopped tracking religion-based demographics, but I can tell you that I've served under 7 chiefs of staff of the Air Force, and I'm in the Air Force, and our most senior general, and 2 of them have been of Jewish heritage, General David Goldfein and General Norton Schwartz, who actually spoke on this bima several Veterans Day Shabbats ago. I've been deployed to conflict zones 4 times in my career and have always found a way to celebrate Jewish holidays with either a deployed Jewish chaplain, a connection back to my home congregation, or with the support with organizations like Kosher Troops, who send holiday food and supplies to me both in Iraq and Afghanistan, so I can light Hanukkah candles or have a small Passover Seder. While deployments aren't fun in the traditional sense, they're always moments of joy and levity. On my first deployments, a Jewish Army chaplain was making rounds across the Middle East and stopped in my camp for Passover. We were stationed in a dry Muslim country and under orders not to consume any alcohol, but exceptions were made for religious purposes. To prepare for the Seder, the supply troops brought in dozens and dozens of bottles of Manischewitz, you know, only the good stuff. However, only a handful of us were able to attend. Nevertheless, we still had a wonderful time. And our 4 glasses of wine turned to closer to 4 bottles of wine and a wobbly walk back to our barracks. There are aspects of being Jewish that might make military service actually easier. Wherever we go, we always know that there's a community we can belong to. While my career has been pretty stable for the past few years, we've moved 6 times in my first 14 years in the Air Force. Everywhere we went, we were able to join a URJ congregation for at least worship or become congregation members, and I was always able to enroll my children at Hebrew school. There are times that my Jewishness and my military service overlap with strong emotional expressions. When I was 16 on my Nifty in Israel summer trip, we were given several choices of immersion experiences for an elective week. Already planning to join the Air Force, I chose Gadna, a military preparation program for Israeli teens, where I wore an IDF uniform, learned to fire an M16, and got generally beat up by Israeli drill sergeants. It's likely that some of those Israeli teens that I trained with are senior IDF officers today, facing unimaginable challenges. In 2008, I was living with and supporting U.S. Special Forces during Operation Iraqi Freedom, when Israel became engaged in Operation Cast Lead against Hamas in Gaza. I remember the pride, fear, sadness, confusion, anger, and concern. I remember talking with our nation's most elite counterterror operators about the impossible tactical, strategic, and political environment the Israelis had entered. The same whirling tornado of mixed emotions is even more present today. I sit on the joint staff, where daily we consult with our Israeli ally, defend their right to defend themselves, work to push support capabilities, establish policy, make contingency plans for possible escalation, and try to help them navigate an even more impossible tactical, strategic, and political environment than ever before. A question I think a lot of service members get, Jewish or otherwise, is why did you join the military? Why do you serve? For a lot of my colleagues, military is a family business. They had parents, grandparents, and siblings who all spent time in the military. I wouldn't say that I come from a military family, but service isn't beyond my family's tradition. On my father's side, Jews who came to the US in the early 20th century, both grandparents served stateside during World War II. On my mother's side, my grandparents escaped Poland from the Nazis to spend the war in Soviet DP camps. After the war, they found their way to British Mandate pre-independence Israel. My teenage grandfather would serve the Haganah on the Egyptian front in 1948. However, it's not their military service I connect to. My mother's parents, looking for better opportunities, left Israel for Brazil and then eventually to New York. They came to this country with two daughters, no education, no money, but a wish to make their life better for their children than the one that they had. They worked hard, bought a home, saw both daughters go to college and become professionals. They saw seven grandchildren enjoy comfortable lives without ever lacking or having needs go unmet. Their story is the definition of the American dream. And that dream can only exist when it's protected. Our nation's veterans, Jewish and not, throughout history have kept us free. Returned home and continue to serve our nation in a magnitude of ways. Tonight and tomorrow, we say thanks to all of them. Thank you again, Rabbi, for inviting me here today, and to all our veterans in the congregation and to their families. Thank you for your service. Shabbat Shalom.
Lyle and Stephanie and Jeff, stay where you are for a moment, but just such deep appreciation, not only for your service to our country, but for your willingness to share your stories with us and to give us some insight about what it is like to be a Jew in the military, the ups and the downs and the challenges and the prideful moments, the joys of being able to take our Jewish values and see that American dream come through, be able to serve and to protect. We thank you for that. We're going to ask that you remain up here and come and stand right about in the middle there. And if there are other veterans who are here this evening who would like to join them on the Bima for the blessing of our veterans and marking this Veterans Day, I invite you to come forward if you'll join us on the Bima. And those of you who are online, if you are a veteran, would you put your name in the chat as well, that we might recognize you as part of our community and congregation here as well. Now there are a few on, there we go, online as well. And a thank you, not as a small aside, but as a thank you as well to you, Neil, for your assistance in helping me think through and arrange for the program for us for tonight. So in addition to our folks here on the Bima, and if you'll introduce yourself and tell name, rank, and serial number? No. name, rank, and branch of service, if you would.
Neil Seiden, United States Navy Commander.
Commander Bellows,
USN. And Captain Colonel Jeff Levine, U.S. Air Force.
Major Lyle Jensen, Army.
Captain Sharon Jenser, Navy.
Commander Rick Sonorsky, Navy.
All right, Navy takes it.
And one more, Vivian Podgany from the Air Force is joining us online as well. For you all and for your time of service, we want to, on behalf of our congregation, offer these words of blessing to you. We'll put the words up on the screen, Barry. Get them up. And if you'll all join with me in offering these words of prayer and appreciation to you all together. May the one who blessed our fighters, Joshua, David, and Judah, Deborah, Yael, and Judith, bless the current and former members of the armed forces of the United States of America who have stood guard in order to protect our nation. May the Holy One of Blessing protect them and save them from all troubles and afflictions, from all sickness and injury, and send blessings to all their endeavors. May the visionary words of the prophet come to fruition through them, and they shall build their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, nor shall they learn war any more, and each one shall sit under the vine and under the fig tree, and none shall be afraid. And let us all say, Amen. Amen. And with deep gratitude and appreciation, thank you for your service.